entertainment sprat that doesn't fall the gray. The Snack Teddies. Revolutionary podcast and sports entertainment is Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad, the Dad, and, well, not riding shotgun with me is Greg, because Greg is on special assignment. So I put the giant bee up into the sky, and my friend from America, Well, I was going to say Father Sean, but not according to any of the biological records. Sean Burkhead, come on down.
I'm just reading over this contract to be the fifth member of the Hubs War Games team. what does this mean? I have acknowledged Greg. I did not agree to acknowledge Greg to be on the team.
You didn't agree to acknowledge Greg? I'm sorry about that. That was Greg must have snuck that in there. Would that be your terms of surrender? Would that must have been Greg's terms of surrender. Sean has to acknowledge him.
Man, you know what? That's what you get when you don't have a wise man to read the contract before you freaking put your name to the paper.
Oh, I think we just spoiled everything for everybody. But if you haven't watched this, you need to go back and watch this episode of SmackDown. Let's just put that out there. This was a very, very good episode of SmackDown. Did a great job. And Greg, you picked a heck of an episode to call Sean in for because you missed. Wow, what a humdinger.
Brad, it's kind of ironic for us.
Yes, because normally when I get asked you to do an episode, you get a stinker. You get like the worst episode of SmackDown a year.
Well, let's go ahead and review this episode and we'll get to the part where I'll tell you why this is kind of ironic for us.
Okay, so we are, Sean, do you know where we were watching this episode of SmackDown from?
From lovely Salt Lake City, Utah, the home of the Utah Hockey Club.
The Utah Hockey Club? yeah, a weird place for a hockey team, but whatever. They did great. It was a great welcome. Sean, I almost started this with playing Sexy Boy, but it didn't really fit into tonight. That would be more of an NXT review.
Yeah, and I think I don't qualify for that theme anymore. I think I'm a little too old for that one.
When they do the remake of Shawn Michaels' theme song, I'm a Sexy Man or Sexy Grandpa, then you can have that song. But for the time being, okay, recap number one. That is the beatdown from last week with the Bloodline. And how we ended up with Bronson Reed in the mix. The new Bloodline comes out. They say, acknowledge me. Solo seems like he's having the time of his life. Sean, is it just me or does Bronson Reed look like he belongs in the new Bloodline?
He does. I mean, like, you would think Central Casting designed the fifth member perfectly for him, and it's Bronson freaking Reed.
The Solo wants Roman to come out and they are going to go over the terms of surrender. This is the best idea for a segment, terms of surrender.
I mean, it's better than tribal combat.
I forgot about that one. And on the other show, we get a lot of these weird, like, we're going to come up with creative ways to say stupid things. And they don't necessarily work. This works because it fit. Like, you're going to come face us. You're either going to surrender or die on your sword or die by my hand.
Well, you got to say, you got to make a choice. So we'll find out what Roman does in about 30 to 35 minutes.
Yes. So our first match of the night is a women's U.S. title tournament match. Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green versus Blair Davenport. Sean, where's Blair Davenport been for months?
On a side of a milk carton for us to find. And finally, we have found her. And I got to say, this was a great match up to the end.
Up until the end. Yes. So this was one of the better matches of the show. The story of this match is Chelsea's trying to win by any means necessary, including a couple of quick roll-ups off the hop. Chelsea does another great roll-up. Davenport really got to show off some of her, like, some of her moves. She does a great stomp on Bianca after tying her braid into the ring rope. Bianca shows off her power with a double suplex. We have big kind of some drop kicks, some other really interesting moves. But this match, basically, we get the cut to the back, and Jade has been smashed through a car. Sean, your fellow member from Tennessee is done.
Wait a minute. Look, Brad, she was conflicted there for like 30 seconds. I'm going like, your Teddy partner's been work. What can you do but run to the back?
With I don't know if that was red eyeshadow or blood. And anyways, she finally comes to. Bianca goes wind sprinting to the back. Chelsea gets a big grin on her face. It looks like Blair's going to pull it out, but Chelsea hits the unpretty her for the win. Thank goodness, because if she doesn't win this tournament, I don't know what the point of the U.S. title is.
Okay, I must agree, since I'm on the SmackDaddy, to love Chelsea Green for one night only, because I was team Blair Davenport, and unfortunately, Blair took the pin.
Yeah, don't let your British friend hear you, but yeah, she's, I hope this division needs people like Blair Davenport, and this is why you need a U.S. title, because someone like Blair Davenport, Meechan, these characters just disappear into the vacuum. They're not world title contenders, but they do deserve to be highlighted on SmackDown.
Brad, one day, Blair Davenport, your undisputed women's WWE champion, mark this date.
But she needs to have some stepping stones and some stuff. It's funny because you talked about Bianca. As soon as finally Bianca gets there, I have no idea where she had to run and how many corridors she had to run. She looks at the ambulance, and the other two are there. Bailey and oh my gosh, the glow. Anyways, they're there, Sean. They're dry, and they're like, and fine. And she's like, no, she's my tag partner. She's made up her mind, Sean. She's getting in that ambulance, and everyone's trying to figure out who done it. Do you think we're actually going to figure out anytime soon who done it?
Well, you know, I kind of like the comments on our Facebook chat during the segment that maybe Jade planned this for herself, and we're planting the seeds for the eventual breakup of the super team.
Ooh, I like it. I also like the fact that it could be one of the heels, but it doesn't matter because this match got infinitely better because Jade is not going to be at War Games, dude. Not a chance.
I mean, you can still hide her in the War Games. War Games is basically a brawl. I mean, anybody can do a brawl.
Are we sure Jade can do a brawl?
I think she can do a brawl. And hey, with some overlooked fact, we saw Bobby Roode for like 30 seconds on our TV.
Okay, would this match be better if we added in, I don't know, maybe if we added in someone like Bailey?
You know, it might happen. We just have to wait a little bit longer to spec out to see if that might be a possibility.
There, stupid Zoom. Sean Burkhead 1, Zoom nothing.
No, actually, Gray, what happened was today, Fred, what happened today was I decided to go to the auto detector because I'm in the big old room.
Yep.
And my Yeti is boomy.
Yep.
So I changed mics.
So you went to the audio detector, which has the nice DJ voice, which is great. Now, I was like, I could tell, like, at a certain point, I was like, I am hearing your computer speaker. So there you go. For those audio nerd files who are listening to this, you know that. So we just left off at the Bianca Belair jumping in the ambulance, Sean. And she basically told Naomi and Bailey to go fly kite. She's my partner. Who, like, did she beat her up before the match and then go to the match? Is that going to be what is, or is Jade going to have taken herself out like Kevin Nash and the CM Punk angle?
You know, they're going to basically end up being Liv Morgan and Raquel Gonzalez are going to be the two who took her out. I'm hoping that's the way they go. I'm hoping that we don't see Jade until after Survivor Series, because she needs to be taken out for a while. She can't just reappear at Survivor Series. Go, hey, I'm fine.
I'll jump in and be the, and make it 6-on-5 so that the baby faces have the advantage. Some quality booking right there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll just keep this show rolling. Who's Adam Ray, and why do I care that he has a Netflix special?
Honestly, after that little spot, I still don't know who the hell he is.
All right. So that'll be tomorrow. Trez, explain to me who Adam Ray is, or I will ask my children. They were way more excited than I was that Big Boom AJ is going to be on the pre-show tomorrow night for AEW.
At least it's on the pre-show. The first of 14 matches.
14 matches. Are you? Is it actually 14 now, counting the pre-shows?
Well, he added 2 matches today, so we're up to 11 official matches for the main card.
And one for the pre-show.
Maybe one or two for the pre-show. So yeah.
Yeah. Get your sleep. Take your nap. Which, by the way, this match, don't sleep on. AJ Styles. LA Knight versus Santos Escobar. I have AJ on the brain now, thanks to my children, and sitting in a sushi restaurant tonight. Okay, Garza and Berto come out, but they get sent to the back because apparently Santos wants to win this one fairly. That seems like a bad idea.
Brad, this match had me ask you a new... Wait, take back. Straighten this out. Brad, I got a new game for you. Who's the bigger dum-dum? Escobar or LA Knight?
I don't know. Like, because Shinsuke comes on and he does the craziness with the attacks. And I'm just... He has the video on and then Escobar attacks from behind. This match is actually pretty good. I think both of them are dum-dums. Shinsuke eventually comes out, and that creates the chaos. But, yeah, the best part about this is I'm sure Escobar could have pinned him, maybe after the Rana, but sure after the Frog Splash. But he picks him, LA Knight, up, puts him on his shoulders, getting ready for the Phantom Driver, and as he pushes him off, we get one of the coolest BFTs I've seen, because, boy, oh, boy, did that look great. But Escobar is like yesterday's news. He gets pinned and boom, boom, boom. Nakamura's out. And he's come sprinting the ring. And he just beats down LA Knight. Putting his head, throwing him into the ring corner twice. Putting his head on the middle turnbuckle. And then Kinshasa-ing the back of his neck. His throat gets there. He's gasping for air. Sean, I've realized this whole time, now that your microphone's working, your sound effect is as well. Here we go. Give me that stunning take.
Well, Brad, I gotta say, this match was brought to you by WWE 2K24 because that finish was straight out of WWE 2K24. Somebody hit the reversal, and LA Knight was lucky enough to hit the BTE, and poor Escobar looked like the biggest idiot in the world.
Yeah, it was not a good look on Escobar. And he's like the setup guy. He is like, unless he's fighting against another Spanish faction, he is just the guy in waiting for something big to happen.
Very true. He's the reliable hand you have when you need to increase a babyface. And that's why his role is in the WWE.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because in other places he might be bigger on the card. Maybe he wouldn't be. Maybe this is all Escobar is supposed to be. And that kind of makes me sad because I like the guy a lot. Oh, boy. All right. Last week, we get our next recap. Recap 2. Street Profits versus the Motor City Machine Guns. Ciampa is involved. Yeah. So in the back, Johnny's trying to talk to the Machine Guns. Johnny's talking to them about how all he and Ciampa need is a title match. Ciampa's not a bad guy. He's just misunderstood, which is like the biggest understatement. Meanwhile, the Profits come in and say they want their title match. Machine Guns have already agreed to that. And Johnny is not even really upset about this. And the line of the night, I think it's Dawkins who says, Ciampa is bad news and some snakes hide in the grass. And Johnny Gargano's like, What does that even mean? This guy punched you in the face last week. It killed me. This was just like the funniest dialogue because it felt like they were just riffing.
Yeah, I got a feeling here. I'm going, Johnny, are you suffering from Stockholm Syndrome by chance? Have you forget everything that happened in NXT that's got you on the main roster now?
Yeah, it's like he forgot their blood feud from a few years ago.
Like one of the best feuds ever in NXT history.
Yeah, you and Greg agree on that, which is probably a sign that the apocalypse is coming. Bloodline is here. And then we get the signs of the night. Sean, do you care about the signs of the night?
You know, I guess it's cool for some fan interaction, and they try to copy this from Game Day down here in the States, ESPN does College Game Day, and it's highly wrapped around the signs the fans bring. So they just basically copy and paste. So it's okay. I mean, I did chuckle at the one that said, Corey Graves' face makes onions cry.
That's a great sign. Oh, boy. Okay. Nick Aldis is in the back. He's asking. He's in the back. He's trying to get, like, talk about security and things like that. And he wants to ask Nia, did she know what happened to Jade? Well, of course she doesn't. And before he can get a straight answer, Cody's going to be on his way to the ring. No one's seen Kevin Owens all day. But that doesn't stop Cody. It's time for adrenaline in her soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Brad, this was one heck of a segment. This was probably one of the better Cody Rhodes promos in a while.
Yes, because it felt like it was factual. Cody calls out Owens, and Owens is mad because he comes out. He's dressed into the nines. Would you like to describe what Mr. Owens is wearing?
Look like black tracks pants, maybe, and a cut-off t-shirt that had the print of a set seal on it. So his finest wares, we would say.
And that's what he said. And he said, you're not even wearing one of your sleazy suits. And Cody doesn't care. He wants him to come down to the ring. And Owen says, I have to jump when you say so. This is your fault. What happened to him is your fault. Referring to Randy Orton. You the reason I pile drove him. Because after 4 years, after spending my blood, sweat, and tears, even before you were here, I've been fighting the bloodline. And then you just teamed up with them and forgave him. And Cody says you're just trying to justify your behavior because you have to always be the victim. You always have to be the control. You have this narrative. And no one holds Kevin Owens down more than Kevin Owens. This is amazing. And Cody basically calls him out. We had a match, Bash at Berlin, and you couldn't pull the trigger. And when you did finally pull the trigger, it was on somebody who was your friend and he didn't deserve it. And Randy and that's when Kevin Owens reminds him, yes, he was my friend and I did that to him. And can you imagine? I hate you. What am I going to do to you? And Cody says, I know the depths you'll sink to. This was a masterclass. This is a promo class and a half. Take note, anybody watching who is an aspiring wrestler. Sean, well, you know what it is. It's time to give me that. Give me that stunning take.
Well, Brad, leaving this segment, I was thinking, this is a perfect setup for a double turn whenever they have this match for the WWE world title. You can switch these guys because, honestly, Kevin Owens is speaking the truth. I mean, he fought the bloodline for 4 years. Roman Reigns literally tried to end his career, and Cody was supposed to be his friend, and he helped Cody get that title, only to see Cody team up with his arch nemesis and Kevin Owens is the bad guy? Really? Really?
Well, that's what we're supposed to believe. I think it's because he attacked Orton. And that may have been the bridge too far.
Well, attacking Orton is stupid because eventually you're going to wake up the Apex Predator and he's going to murk you. So, Kevin Owens, you have a date with an RKO sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of whenever that's going to happen. So, Recap three. Solo's terms of surrender, because it's been 45 minutes, so we must have forgotten that segment. Sammy says, they're not going to surrender, are they? And Roman says, no. Then they say, what should we do? Jimmy or Jay says, should we ask Cody? Roman says, he's old news. Sammy thinks that they can still get Seth. That's not going to work. And Roman says, we have everything we need here. Whether we win or whether we lose, we die together. Sammy says, what's the plan? Roman says, I don't know.
Brad, that was stupid. Roman, the plan is simple. Eliminate 1 to 5 guys on the other team, so it's back to 4v4. And I would suggest maybe get rid of Bronson Reed. I don't know.
Oh, come on. Tongaloa is just, match will already be better if you go after Tongaloa.
Fine, Brad. Fair point. I was thinking size-wise, if you were in this fight, who would you literally want to take out? Because you know Tongaloa is there for the pin.
That's right. We can't leave. Tamatonga is like, you got to keep low in this match because we need somebody to pin. And it's not going to be me. Oh, boy. Women's tag match. Naomi and Bayley versus Candice and Tiffy. Well, we see how Naomi's title match went last week with recap number 3. And then we get into this match. This match was actually okay. It was a classic babyface match. Naomi is stuck in the match. Bayley's stuck in the match. And Naomi's waiting for the hot tag. Candice and Tiffy can't get along. They do a couple of cool combo moves. If they could get along, it'd be great. And then when we're about to get the hot tag, Nia Jax gets involved and beats up the baby faces. And this is when all hell breaks loose. Because this match really was just window dressing for the fact that they're going to get beat up. It's 3-on-2. Down comes Io Sky to save Bayley. Let's just let that sit there for 10 seconds. Then Liv Morgan and Raquel Gonzalez come down. And who comes out? Well, this is my brutality. Mommy is here herself, and she is carrying a kendo stick, and she clears the ring. Sean, I'm going to wear out the sound effect tonight because it's time for our stunning take. Give me that stunning take.
Okay, first of all, I'm looking at this contract again to be the fifth member of your guys' War Games team. And apparently, your wife's apology to me has been taken out of the contract. So, I was happy Nia interfered so we didn't see Tiffany get another pin on her. Because apparently, Tiffany's the one that's supposed to get pinned every week in this, like, triumvirate of female talent.
Well, when you win the briefcase, it says right in that contract, you will eat pins for months until you cash in.
Come on, Brad. She's a generational talent.
She also be tramping. Not my words, my wife's words.
Well, I know you're a happy married person, so you're just doing the right thing, the same token to the company line.
I'm happy to be towing the company line. Now, I'm not going to say that Tiffy... Have you seen the videos where they show people running and then it says suspect is something, something, something? They did, WWE did one with the women in the back, and the line with Tiffy was suspect is running to go get new gear made, which is going to still malfunction, which is super funny because Tiffy's gear malfunctions all the time.
Well, this tag team match kind of malfunctioned at the beginning. It seems like her and Candice don't click. And these four together really didn't click. So it was nice to see. It was this window dressing for the War Games match coming down the road. So you have the babyface team from Raw come out to start the fight.
Yes. And at the end of this, Sean, they're adding Bayley. They're switching Bayley for Jade.
I do believe so. And oh, by the way, at the end of the War Games match, maybe Tiffany cashes in that contract on Liv Morgan or I don't know, maybe Nia Jax.
This, see, there's an idea to make this a little bit spicy. Speaking of spicy, Ciampa versus Ford is our main event match, believe it or not. Tommaso Ciampa and Montez Ford are main eventing SmackDown, at least match-wise, which is wild.
I love this match, Brad. Brad, this was the match of the night. And oh my word, Montez Ford has a jaw of steel. If you saw that last knee that he ate.
He ate that knee multiple times. Once as he's trying to come back in the ring, once off the top rope. He hits all kinds of crazy high-flying moves. But the ending sequence where he jumps off, eats the knee, then Ciampa tries the fairy tale ending. When he gets him up, he goes to catch him, and Ford just falls down on him, grabs his legs, and pins him. And Ciampa loses his mind. He just eviscerates Ford. When we have the save made by Ford's tag team partner, Johnny comes down, and Ciampa just keeps going. And when Johnny tries to pull him off, he gets pushed down. The machine guns try and save Johnny. And you know what? At the end of it, I think we have a different problem. I don't need a stunning take this time. I need to ask an important game. Sean, as you know, we like to play games here on the Smack Daddy Show. And I need you to answer. I'm going to say it's a reoccurring question on this show. Do you know what it is?
You're going to ask me who's the heel in this feud. So hit the music.
There's a time for you. I could have played that whole song. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're going to try to convince me that Ciampa is the heel in this feud, right?
No, I'm not going to try to convince you. I think Johnny Gargano's a bad friend.
I agree with you, Brad. By the way, aren't you supposed to be tag team partners with Ciampa? And wait a minute, why are you siding with Emergency Machine Guns? Because all Ciampa wants is a tag team title match, and I don't know. Don't champions make more money?
Also, didn't these guys just show up out of nowhere and steal your spot?
That too. Yet again, another reason that Ciampa's right.
There's the t-shirt idea of the week. Ciampa was right. Oh, either that or Burkhead was right.
And hey, we can talk about the source of Street Profits, because it seems like they've been bouncing between kind of face and kind of heel. We don't know which way we're going with them either, so...
Yeah, they're also on the Who's the Heel team. So the way this looks like it's setting up, we're setting up a great six-man feud where we have the Street Profits and Ciampa, our heels, versus our faces, Johnny Gargano and the Motor City Machine Guns. Except this is tag team wrestling, so that does not, that these two threes cannot work together.
Or you get a triple threat for the WWE SmackDown tag team titles. And two of the three tag teams split after the match.
Yeah, well, you know what? Machine Guns should just not be getting along too. They can split as well. As you may have heard on with the Rod Dogs, as we only had one dog this week, but he made the point: can any tag team in WWE get along right now?
Well, that's a fair point. But oh, by the way, Brad, me and you both have the same number of Super Bowl wins as the Buffalo Bills. So pat on your back.
We also have the same number of wins as the Dallas Cowboys this year.
I thought you were my friend.
I just turned on Sean in the middle of that segment. Oh, Sean, I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. My apologies. Well, let's just reset with As the Bloodline Turns. Okay, so... the bloodline, new bloodline comes down to the ring, and out comes the OG bloodline. And it's Roman, it's Jimmy, it's Sammy. And Roman's checking with his crew as they walk into the ring. Solo has the mic. Roman, I love you. I don't want to fight you. If you four can join my bloodline, we would run this company for decades. You don't have a fifth man. You don't have a wise man. Join my team or else. Solo holds the microphone out. Roman takes it. And before we get anything, ladies and gentlemen, crowd erupts. Paul Heyman comes out in a suit and a t-shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. And this math isn't mathing for me. I know that we need five people on War Games teams, and there's only four. Five versus four doesn't work for the wise man. So it's going to be five on five. And he points the entrance way and look into my eyes. What do you see? It's a cult of personality. CM Punk, the original Paul Heyman guy, comes to the ring and they clear the ring. The Usos and Sammy do synchronized dive. There's a look shared between Roman and CM Punk. One Tongan eats a spear. The other Tongan eats a go to sleep. Roman is asking, what are you doing here? And Punk indicates that I'm not with you, but I'm with him, pointing to Paul Heyman. And I'm not sure if this is going to work, but apparently nobody can get along in this show. So that's it. Apparently, making fun of the Cowboys was just me getting into the spirit of SmackDown for this week, where none of us can get along.
That should be the title of the episode, Nobody Can Get Along.
Oh, that is the title of the episode, Nobody Can Get Along. And now you know why it's the title of the episode.
So, for a second there, before you heard Cult of Personality, do you think it would have been Brock Lesnar by chance?
Not a chance in hell, because he is currently in a lawsuit. I have a better one, Sean. Wasn't this supposed to be Seth Rollins all along?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be Seth Rollins until like maybe this past Monday night when they decided maybe we should put Punk in there. We need a way to put Punk in there. Oh, wait a minute. He used to be managed by Paul Heyman. Why not? So sorry, Seth. We'll take you out, let you have some time off or something. But leaving this segment, are we going to WrestleMania season with a match between Roman Reigns and CM Punk at WrestleMania 41 in Vegas?
Ooh, now that's tantalating. I have an answer for you, Sean, on why Punk's in this match.
Okay, answer that. Give me your answer.
Okay, here it is. It's because I think CM Punk just wants, it's like, he's like a kid doing a wish list. You know what I really want? I want to come back to WWE, and I also want to be in a War Games match before I retire. Like, that's got to be it, Sean. Now, you were going to say something else. What's on your mind?
Okay, so the other thing I'm thinking about as we left that segment, I think this confirms the fact that we won't see The Rock until the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I think that pretty much confirms it, because we now have enough star power for this match.
Because honestly, I was thinking Bronson Reed's spot should have been The Rock's spot if you want to put him into the War Games match, or you have The Rock come down at the end of War Games to help the Bloodline win. But with Punk being here, with more star power, I don't think we're going to get any of that. We're going to have to wait to the Royal Rumble to see if we get the start of Roman versus Rock. But I think we're getting Roman versus CM Punk.
Or is he going to come down and screw over the Bloodline and they're going to spill out and we're going to get Rock versus Punk?
Ooh. Okay, so which one of the three matches do you really want to see?
Oh, yeah. Can I say none of the above? Because I kind of want to have Roman and Cody again, but that's just me. I know that's craziness, but like if not this year, then definitely next year, because you have to finish that. That's like generational trilogy. We had Austin versus Rock at three WrestleManias. This is this generation's two biggest stars. They've got to have a third.
True. And I got to say, Greg picked a great week to be off, because he couldn't rag us about the fact that we didn't see CM Punk's return at last year's Survivor Series, because we were good podcast hosts, because we were getting ready for the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot. The last time that we were together was Punk's return, and Greg was the only one that saw it. We got through the entire show until it was like, well, nothing else happened.
And he's like, did you not see CM Punk's return? And we're going like,
no, we were getting ready for the show, you jerk.
Exactly. And he is the biggest heel of all time, because a good podcast partner, but it gave you the heads up like this happened so we could have talked about it, but before we ragged over Survivor Series last year, as we were calling it one of the worst Survivor Series ever until he hits us with the news.
Sean, you know what the story of this is? That nobody can get along. Like, nobody can get along.
Exactly. And that's why you're here trying to beg me to be the fifth member.
Sean's looking over the contract. He still hasn't signed it yet, by the way. Randy, I'm going to do my best to get him to sign this as we go into our SmackDown synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And your SmackDown synopsis today is brought to you by nothing. Actually, no, it's not. Today, Sean, you know what? It should be brought to you by Radio Free Pro Wrestling. Why don't you put a plug in here for Radio Free Pro Wrestling?
Well, once you get done listening to this lovely SmackDown review, me and David Brackley will have a Progress Chapter 174 preview up on our YouTube channel. Just type in Radio Free Pro Wrestling on YouTube. We'll pull you right up. You can watch that, and we have a back catalog of about 112 videos that you can just dive through.
Ooh, Radio Free Pro Wrestling on YouTube. That's very well done, Sean. That sounded very professional. All right, let's go back through this. What are you? So, for those listening who have never heard this before, keep is you just leave it as it is. Cut means we're not watching any of it, and you can superstar special. Let's go back to the beginning of this show. The bloodline, the new bloodline in the ring. What do you want to do with that?
We got to keep it because it gives us the answer to the question of who is in this War Games match.
Acknowledge me.
Fair enough. The women's three-way, Bianca, Chelsea, and Blair Davenport.
We're going to superstar special this so I can be a heel to Canada.
Yeah, that's fair. It really was about Chelsea at the end and the attack in the back. LA Knight versus Santos Escobar.
We're going to superstar special this too, because all we're doing is getting towards LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura. We could literally did that with his promo video.
Yeah, this match was very.
Yeah.
It was there. It was nothing special. It was just that. Eh. Oh, boy. Okay. Johnny Gargano. Well, and the tag teams that can't get along.
We're going to cut this because, I mean, really, we're already seen this. So let's just cut it.
See, Greg, Sean's not always nice. Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. Oh, boy. I know where this is going.
Hit me with that sweet music because we're keeping this.
Yeah, have to keep that one.
It was the best segment of the show.
That we did end with a pretty big shocker. The bloodline sitting in their locker room. What are we doing with this?
We're keeping it, even though I'd want to put an asterisk beside this, because Roman, really, the plan is to eliminate one of the five people. That's the smartest plan you have at the moment.
Yeah, he was not the wise man. It was.
Acknowledge me.
That was all brains and no brawn. Okay, Naomi, Bailey versus Candace and Tiffy. What do you want to do with this?
Okay, it is November the 11th, 2022.
No, November the 22nd.
November the 22nd, 2024. Mark this date. I'm cutting a Tiffy Stratton segment.
I even had the Tiffy time. Like, my finger was on the Tiffy time button. And I was like, oh, no, I figured you were doing this because that was not a good match. Ciampa and Ford, what do you want to do with this one?
We're leaving this. This was the best match of the evening. And, dude, Ford has a jaw of steel, and I want to see a rematch.
This Rebel Heart!
Yeah, it was, and it progressed their storyline. And now we go to the main event. The bloodline, the new bloodline versus the OG bloodline, and the return of the wise man and CM Punk.
You know, I could cut this and make it like it never happened, like we had last year at Survivor Series, but we're going to keep it.
I I don't even know why I hit that button, but it was just funny. It is just a pop. Yeah, we could have cut it, but it was definitely, the punchline was that we actually sat to the end and saw CM Punk return this time. So that is it. Sean, just to recap, the things that you kept for this week, you kept the OG Bloodline, you kept the Ciampa Ford match, you cut the women's tag match, Naomi, Bayley, Candice, and Tiffy, you kept the Bloodline in the back, although you think they should have just axed somebody, you kept the Cody part, which you thought was the best part of the show, you didn't keep Johnny and the Machine Guns talking in the back, you cut the superstar, the LA Knight match, and you superstarred Chelsea winning her match, and you kept the original, the new Bloodline making the challenge. So overall, you kept about 75% of the show, Sean.
I mean, it was mostly a thumbs up show with maybe just two bad matches that I wish they would have just redo. I think the only reason they were bad is because they're double taping the episode of SmackDown tonight so they can have one next week. So I think some people are doing double duty. So they're like, we'll just kind of halfway do the first set of matches.
So rather than acknowledge me, we should acknowledge Paul Triple H Levesque, who is being great to his talent by cutting down the amount of travel, by having them do double tapings throughout the Christmas season from basically from American Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas so that they can have more time with their families. What a novel concept, by the way.
I know, exactly. Oh, hey, before we go, we should also talk about the news that the WWE Network is going to be no more January the 1st, 2025, as it was announced this week.
Well, it's going to be all on Netflix. They're going to move everything, Smoky Mountain, all that stuff's definitely going to be on Netflix, he says as he shakes his head.
Eventually, yes. Eventually it will, but it will start out just like Peacock, where they have just a limited variety of stuff that is not news content.
Yeah, here's the thing. I can't speak for anybody else, but I was paying for my WWE Network, and now I'm only going to be paying for Netflix.
Oh, Brad, I can't wait to 2026 where I can cut Peacock and just pay my Netflix and have everything.
You have no idea how much we're looking forward to it. Also, up here in Canada, we've had a monopoly where one company has basically had everything, and their streaming service is as reliable as trying to watch a Mike Tyson fight on Netflix.
No. That streaming service is like the Dallas Cowboys. It's that dysfunctional.
I didn't make the Cowboys joke. And on that note, thank you for joining us. We have a ton of stuff here. As Sean already promoted, go check out Radio Free Pro Wrestling. They're going to have a new show out very shortly. But also check out their back catalog. Here on the Hub, we are going to have Jimmy's Storytime, which will come up next in sequence. You're also going to have the Raw Dogs. We've welcomed back our buddy Steve Swift. And you will have, I know that he's already on the mend. So the main show will have a very exciting interview this week. And I am really looking forward to, I'm always looking forward to the interviews on the main show, which is on TSN. You can listen to it whenever you have a chance. Donnie Da Silva, Jimmy Corderas. What else could you want, Sean?
Exactly. And before we go, I just want to say thank you to Donnie, Greg, you, Brad, Randy. You all guys sent me lovely messages 2 months ago when my stepdad passed away. And this is the first time I've been able to be on a show with you guys since then. And I just want to say thank you very much. I appreciate everything you said to me in the last 2 months. Checking in on me every now and then, which I do appreciate.
Thank you for the kind words, Sean. Thank you for joining us for tonight. Just thank you for being awesome. I'm glad we got your microphone working so we could hear those stunning takes. And I am glad that you did not have to sit through a terrible SmackDown.
So that makes me 1-3. Kind of like the Democrats versus Donald Trump.
Yeah. All right. With that, we the ones. And I did not make any comments on American politics.
They are the ones.
Revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. Father Greg and Brad, the dad bless you all with the lovely tales. But
Friday night, SmackDown and beyond. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Stat Daddies. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies.